B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
And by the way, it's 12 o'clock and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We're at Beasley Media Group Station and we're talking to the great World Be Free from the Sixers and a master storyteller. But I think back to, like, today, guys in shape, right? Like, guys, you know, it's 365 a year, right? Like, if you look at Jimmy Butler, right? Jimmy Butler's got his own crew that lives with chef, work trainers. Back in the day. Like,
back in the day, all you had was the park. Get your ball, you go out there. You know what I mean? You see a couple of guys out there, you start it on. You know what I mean? You get it on. You go from day to night now when you go out there like that, you know?
Well, and that was the thing. Like, you got winners out. And did you play at Rucker?
Yeah, I played at Rucker. I'm a legend out there in that Rucker Pro now.
Wow. Oh, my God. With Doc.
Doc was older than I was, but I got to play. You know, against the great players that played in there now, you know?
Wow.
I remember when, if you don't mind.
No.
I remember when Doc, when I first went to Harlem to see Dr. J play in the Rucker Pro. I remember when I first went there, it was like 1,000 people. I was up in the trees. I mean, it was like people all over the place. It was like, I mean, it literally was like all of the hood was in the park. It was no crime at that time when Dr. J was playing.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
It was real. I mean, everyone, I said, wait a minute, this is unbelievable. And I always said, well, one day I'm going to get to do this, you know?
Oh my God, that is awesome. All the hoods, they had the front row standing section.
Playground. It was a school right across the street from me. People on the roofs of that school when Doc played. So, I mean, it was unbelievable. You thought you was like in Madison Square Garden on the outside. You was in New York, you know?
Oh my God. What was the scene like? I could just see the guys drinking, you know, wine and beer.
Oh, man, you had everything going around that way. I mean, you know, kids wasn't allowed. You had the women coming out with their little skimpy outfits on because they knew all the guys on the teams. You know, they had the pimps, the hustlers, the pusher man. Everything was out there. You know what I mean? You might as well make a Superfly movie in the Rucker.
I love it. I love it's all about characters. Like, see, that's what, as a writer, that's what I love. Because today, like, we're a bit homogenized. You know, like, everybody's kind of the same and all. But back then, crazy characters, man.
But back then, everybody was a trendsetter. You know what I mean? You see somebody come out with something different all the time. You know what I mean? Even if back then, if it was the platform shoes, where if you were 6 feet, when you had the platform shoes, you were like 6'5". You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Had the flared bell bottoms, you know, them bell bottoms like them sailors were wearing. You know, I mean, it was all kind of crazy stuff out there. The pea coats. It was man, it was some serious stuff.
That's classic. Did you ever get to see Connie Hawkins play?
Oh, yeah, I got to see Connie Hawkins play. Because he's from Brooklyn, too, where I'm from.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about it because recently, well, if Hollywood ever opens up again, I was approached to do to write a script about Connie Hawkins.
And
to do a movie about him. I know he was from Brooklyn like you were. Wasn't he like the precursor to Doc, that he was like the guy that was playing above the rim?
Yeah, he was like the first guy that I ever seen do the Doc. He was doing it before Doc, picking the ball up off the ground with one hand, going to the basket, making the ball, show you the ball, and make it disappear. You know what I mean? And he was just killing people with it. His jump shot wasn't all that, but I tell you, when he went to the basket, oh boy, this guy was like unbelievable. And the thing about it, he had good hops too. He was long, those like them long arms and long legs.
But
he had some hops. He was a legend.
The talent. When you look at the talent, when you look at the whole landscape of basketball, the artistry of the game was so prevalent back then compared to now. Because, I mean, now, obviously, you know, the game is so structured, really, when you're kids and AAU ball, the whole thing, compared to the artistry of being in the playground. What would you see? Like, put your mind's eye back to the playground and what you would see, how the game was. Like, what are you watching when you go back?
What I see how the game was, you know, back then, because I told you it was more outside basketball, you know, and you always had a pole in the middle of that floor, in the middle of the court, because the basket had to be up on the pole. So I've seen guys, like, learn how to go ahead, like, say if there's a person down there under the basket, and we'll use that person as the pole that we always played against, and played because the basket was right there. And you can learn how to contort your body different ways where you won't get charges. So if you see guys like that come from different places, they can like maneuver like, well, you thought he would have charged us, man, but no, he went right around him. Yeah. You know, it's those little things that you get from, I guess, when you're playing outside as opposed to playing just regular without no pole or something, you know. But
it's true. Like, I grew up in Philly, you know, when you play ball, most playgrounds didn't have nets. And if they did, they'd have the chain nets. Right, so I used to love the chain nets because you heard a shh when you were pure.
Yeah. When you had that jumper, I mean, you would hear that chain net like that.
Yeah.
Thing about it, I didn't like the chain net as much when it came out to me, only because of the fact that it took longer, it seemed like, for the ball like to come out. with the regular net, you know, you switch, you know, and there it goes. You know what I mean? but I tell
it's
you,
it's
different with the chain net, but it's all part of basketball. You know, I guess basketball is a game, man. And being off like this here now, I tell you, man, I miss it even more than I ever missed it.
Yeah.
You know, we can watch all of the games and everything else, but you know, it's not like being right there again. You know.
I know, and it's funny because I'm gonna talk about that game seven. Did you watch that game seven between the Sixers and Celtics, that playoff game when they beat LA? The one that was beat LA? Because I think you were in Cleveland at that point.
Was that when Magic jumped center?
Yes. No.
Yeah.
That was the one. It was 82. So it was 1982.
When Mo Cheeks and Dockin won it.
They didn't win it. It was the year before. The Sixers lost to the Lakers. Magic jumped center in 80. Then in 82, they lost. Moses won in 81. The Lakers won again in 82. But before that series, Sixers-Lakers, the Sixers blew a 3-1 lead to the Celtics. And everybody thought they were going to lose the game. They go back, game seven on a Sunday afternoon. Andrew goes nuts. And then they start yelling, beat L.A., can't beat L.A., beat L.A.
Yeah, I remember that.
Did you see that game? Did you watch that game?
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that game. I remember it. And the thing about it, you can see that tide was getting ready to turn, though. You can see the confidence, though, in the Sixers, you know, at that time, you know. It was like no backing down from the guys. It looked like they went in the locker room. They had Big Mo. They like, we're going to take it. We're going to take it the way we need to take it. And then Andrew just went crazy on them.
How tough was the play that back then, home court event, like at the Boston Garden?
Oh, the Boston Garden was like crazy to play in because, see, they knew all the dead spots in that floor, you know. And like they would channel you over to them dead spots. When you bouncing the ball never come back up. And they knew where to do it. I think wasn't they Red Auerbach?
Yeah, yeah.
I think he did that kind of stuff on purpose. They made it hot up in that place, you know, where you can't breathe. But they knew how to do it, you know. It was a thing in the Boston Garden when you it had all kind of little leprechauns coming out of that bad boy when they were doing what they were doing. Yeah, it was a different world.
That is great. You got to give me a couple stories. Give me a Daryl Dawkins story.
A Daryl Dawkins story. Oh, let me tell you. That Daryl. I remember Daryl Dawkins. Me and him came in at the same time, and we both were rookies at the same time, and he became my best friend in basketball and off the court, really. And, you know, and I miss him dearly. And the thing is, I remember he had a birthday party, and Daryl came from Florida. And, you know, I'm coming from New York, from Brooklyn, and we dressed a little different. And I remember it was his 18th birthday, and they threw a party over this place called Green Street for him. So it was I get there, you know, I'm suited down, got my little, you know, my whatever I got on, I'm rocking it real good. So, you know, Daryl pulls up in a limousine. They had like 1,000 people out there waiting for him to come in for the party, you know. And Daryl pulls up, you know, it was nighttime outside. And, you know, there was everybody, Daryl Dawkins is here, Daryl's here. So I go outside and, you know, the great big fella jumped out that bad boy with like his hair processed like James Brown back in the days. You know, and that gold teeth in his mouth. I'm like, wait a minute. And this guy had a lime green, it was like a silk suit. I mean, look, you can see yourself in that suit, man. It was like unbelievable with a feather in his hat. I said, damn. He was killing too. And then he had the platform shoes on. He was 7 feet already, so he was 7'5". You know what I'm saying? I said, go, there you go, boy. You know? Oh, man. Everybody was like, down. It was like the second coming when he came out the car. All the little high school girls, though. You know, he was 18.
I mean, think about, like, you talk about, like, being a baby. Like, he was young, 18 years old. He came out of high school. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was 18. And then one time we was you want another one?
Yeah,
we was in this restaurant, right? And in this Chinese restaurant. And I remember coming off the road. So Daryl said, you know, we sitting down eating. So they bought this, you know, the hot mustard they have? They had the ginger and the hot mustard. Yeah. So we had the hot mustard. They put this hot mustard. Back then, I'm telling you, that mustard was like really hot. They didn't dilute it or anything. They just put that stuff down there. So I told Daryl, you know, me and him always kidding each other. I was like, yo, D, if you drink that mustard right there, I bet I'll give you $100. D was like, you don't give me no $100. I said, no, I'll give you $100 if you drink that mustard right there. So he said, all right, I'll take the challenge. You know what I mean? So, all right, he goes ahead. He takes the mustard, picks it up. He drinks it. And I'm looking at this guy. I'm like, I know that mustard is like crazy hot. You know what I mean? So he didn't budge. I mean, he didn't even drink the water. Next thing you know, I'm sitting there about like 2 minutes. The eyes started bloodshot and red. The white part. I'm looking at him like, oh my goodness. So we were roommates too at that time. So we get to the room. I'm like, damn, this guy, you know, he handled it. You know, he handled it. He got in that bathroom, boy. All I heard that man was going like, to the top of his lungs. I said, oh my goodness. And then they get out. He comes out there, a sweat all dripping off him like he played 2 overtime games. I gave him 100 because I didn't want him to kill me. You know how big he was. It's 100 deep.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Yeah, I gave him 100.
He was the best. He was the DJ at all the clubs, right? Like you would go out at night and he would be down talking DJing.
Oh, yeah. He should put you on that planet Lubtron, man. Once you get on Lubtron, that's it, man. It's all over. I guess a lot of people are going to close. A lot of girls are set their windows now when they heard that.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, he was a different man, man. But I tell you one thing, one of the nicest, biggest giants I've ever heard, seen before in my life.
That's awesome.
I tell you, he was just a wonderful brother, and I love him to death.
You know what? I'm going to bug you again next week to tell more stories.
You got it. Whatever you want, cuz.
I'm telling you, I can't get enough. I love hearing that stuff, man. It is the greatest. You're a treasure, brother. You know what? We love you, buddy.
Love you, too. In a time of need like that, then, man, everybody, look, let's stay safe. And remember, this, too, shall pass.
Amen, brother.
Let's do it moderately, okay?
I love it. World B for you, the greatest. God bless, brother.
My brother, be good, cuz.
There he is, the great world back to Judas. Are you kidding me? Judas is going, we got a break. Judas, are you gonna say no to these stories? He's a treasure chest, Judas.
Yeah, those are awesome stories.
Because you know about Love Tron?
No. Now I do.
Come on, man. This is insane. You got to pay attention to it. You know what we're starting doing? I'm going to start getting guys on just to tell stories, to educate everybody about what life was like around here in the 70s and 80s and 90s. I'm young. I don't know the 70s and 80s, right? I know the 90s, but I want to get guys to tell the stories about this stuff and educate you. All right?
I'm in.
All right. You're like, this is going to break, would you? All right, coming up, we have the playback. We're going to go back to that time, 1982. Sixers Celtics game 7. Would the Sixers come back and win? That's right. It's Cuz Radio with Tunis right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right. Yeah, I can't get enough of those stories. I love that stuff. Rucker Park, which is a legendary playground, New York City, Dock, the whole thing, and hearing World Free talk about life like that, Philadelphia back then. It's pretty cool. I might do some of that stuff for you and get some like old school dudes to tell some fun stories, some Broad Street Bullies, all that stuff. Anyway, we throw back in the day today with Sixers Celtics 1982. It is May the 23rd, Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, I'm going to tell you the backdrop. The year before, the Sixers had a three... Gucci! Gucci's trying to jump on the table. Not good. The year before, the Sixers had a 3-1 lead over the Celtics. Now, this was, I don't know if you knew this, Tunis, Moses Malone had upset the Lakers, and they were going to represent the Western Conference. And the Sixers' biggest hurdle to winning a championship was beating the Lakers. So here it was, Moses and four dudes from Houston. And the Sixers had a 3-1 lead over Boston. And we thought, this is it. We're going to win. I remember being a little boy going, oh, yes. I was probably Anthony's age going, yes, Sixers are going to win. Sixers are going to win. And what happens? They blow the 3-1 lead. And this is in 1981-82. Right? 1981. Then it turns out Sixers the following year have a 3-1 lead again over Boston. Well, Boston wins game 5. They come back on a Friday night at the Spectrum and beat the Sixers to even the series. Game 7 was Sunday afternoon in Boston. Oh, Chunas. Sunday afternoon in Boston. And waking up, right? Here we are, reading the paper, doing everything. And everybody thought the Sixers would lose. All the calmness, Bill Lyon, all the Sixers are going to lose, Mailey, all this stuff, they're going to lose. And we were the only ones, that's true Sixer fans, kids that didn't understand, who had hoped and prayed that they would come up with a miracle that day. Judas, a lot was riding that day, May the 23rd, 1982. So let's pick it up. Dick Stockton and Bill Russell. I hate them both. We're on the call. Celtics win the tip, and Bird scores the first of his 20 points.
So Boston won the tip. Gerald Henderson filling in for Tiny Archibald, out with a dislocated shoulder. Larry Bird, first shot of the game.
I think it's very important that the 76ers stay close the first half.
What's that for?
Great insight. I think it's very important that the Sixers stay close. And no bleep.
That was Bill Russell. Yeah. I hated Celtic. By the way, Dick Stockton sounds like it's from 1950. Does he not?
Well, at first I thought it was Costas when I was first listening to it. It kind of sounds like Costas. And then, of course, during coming out one of the breaks, he says, Dick Stockton and Bill Russell here.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's Dick Stockton, man. It sounds like ancient. Oh, my God. All right, here you go. You ready? Sixers, first bucket. Bobby Jones.
Maurice Cheeks, when he has been good, Philadelphia has won. When he has not been a factor, they have lost. It's as simple as that. Julius Erving to Bobby Jones, right of the key, tie score.
Because I think if they get too far behind, they can't catch the Celtics team.
What?
He's so bad.
What? He first says it's important for them to stay close to the first half. And then he says, if they get too far behind, they can't stop catching something, Steve.
It was 2-0, Bill. God.
Oh, that's so bad. Back and forth throughout the first half. It's still early in the first quarter. And how about this name? Caldwell Jones.
Maurice Cheeks. Brilliant campaign for him. And he's kept it up in the playoffs. Caldwell Jones, outside hits. He scored 22 points in that second game. And if he can hit when he's open outside, that's an extra bit of ammunition for Philadelphia. And they need all the offensive ammunition they can get. This is basically a defensive-oriented team.
How about it? What'd you think? This is the first time you actually watched it on YouTube.
Yeah, from start to finish. Like, I watched the runs on both teams and when they came close and all that stuff. It was cool. It was different. It was at times very sloppy, but it can get sloppy in the NBA now. But the shooting's just totally different. I mean, the mid-range game, that's all the shots were. They were saying that Caldwell Jones shot that he hit, they go, well, if Caldwell's shooting from the outside it wasn't outside the three-point line.
Yeah.
It was just outside of the paint. And they were calling that an outside shot.
Yeah.
Outside now is like LeBron pulling up from half court.
I know. It's so different. It really is. All right. And midway through the first quarter, there it is. That face with the Adam's apple and that face of a pelican. Larry Bird.
Celtics trailing by 2.
Back off.
Lead either club had was 5 by Philadelphia. Larry Bird ties the score. Larry Bird said, I know my shot will be there on Sunday. I'll drop a few. I can guarantee you that. He's hit 3 of 5, and we have our third tie of the ball game.
He was a cocky SOB, man. He really was. But you know who would steal the afternoon? The Strangler would steal the afternoon.
Good rebound by Robert. Bird pulls up. He's been hot so far. So is Caldwell Jones. He has been totally vicious off the defensive glass. Irving beating Andrew Toney. Over Bird gets the bucket. Good aggressive play by Andrew Toney, who now is in 3-4. He had 39 points in one game, 30 in another against the Celtics after that horrendous game shooting, 1-11 Friday night.
Dude, it doesn't get cooler than the Strangler, number 22. Did you love the Strangler or what?
His shot was just so pure.
Is that?
I mean, I could just see it.
Is that
watch
the
one game
nickname ever?
Oh, that's
Strangler.
Awesome.
Oh, my God. All right, Sixers, they led as much as 9 in the first quarter, but the Celtics go on a run. And here's another hate the face, Kevin McHale.
Yeah. McHale, with less than 2 minutes to go, open inside. McHale facing the hoop. Kevin McHale now has 4 points in the game. So 6 different Celtics are in the scoring column. 4-point Philadelphia lead, minute and a half to go in the first.
How about that, Junis? Kevin McHale. Oh, he was a hate the face. But here it is. Just about 30 seconds left in the first quarter. And early in the shot clock, just inside the 3-point line, the Strangler. How about it? Take a listen.
Well-balanced scoring for the Celtics with Bird leading with 6. 4 other players with 4. Long-range Andrew Toney with 14 points now in this first quarter. He's averaged 16 during the year.
Dude, the Strangler. Are you kidding me? The Strangler, 14 in the first quarter. Yeah, it was outrageous. Sixers lead after 1. High-scoring first quarter, 30-28. Toney with 14. Doc, who oftentimes would not get out to a hot start, he would try to get everybody else involved, much like Jordan, hasn't scored yet. And here it is to start the second quarter. The Chief, Robert Parrish, goes to work over Double D.
2 on Darryl Dawkins as he knocked McHale to the parquet floor, which has been the scene of so many memorable contests between these men. 14 batters above championships for the Celtics, looking for number 15. They need to win this game to go against the Lakers. And it'll start Thursday night, 9 o'clock Eastern on CBS. Ainge against Toney. Parrish getting position inside. Dawkins has 2 fouls. Parrish may want to go against him. Going up against him.
That's a tough shot.
Wow. The final start.
All right, so it looks like we're having some technical difficulties with Anthony at home. So we're gonna keep in touch with Anthony. We'll continue the playback coming up in a little bit, but we still got a couple more minutes left in this segment. So I'll keep Anthony on. We'll see if he can call back in, come back on at any point. So let's keep on going to the phones a little bit, and let's go to Aaron. Aaron, what's going on, man?
What up, Andrew? What's happening, man?
What's going on?
All right, man. Out here and about, man. Still in these streets working. Serving the people out.
Yeah,
there,
I appreciate
man.
You working, man. It's good that you're still out there. Just make sure you stay safe, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. So today, I want to congratulate this Philadelphia fan base. I am very proud to say that I am a Philadelphia fan. For the way they stood up to the Sixers organization last night for the people was outrageous, man. I just love what they did. We have a voice. This thing just told you that this Philly fan base has a voice and they listen. You know, like we stood up to these dudes, man. Like I'm just glad they rescinded what they was trying to do to the people down there. I'm really ecstatic what Joe did, you know, and on the broader side of things, Like, what if this thing actually would have went through? Then it would have been chaos across the country because another team would have did it. Then the other team would have did it. And you can't play with people money right now, man. The times is hard right now. We need all the money we can get. So I commend the Philly fan base. I commend Joel Embiid for standing up, man. And that just made my day. Throughout this tough time, that just made my day, man, because people stood up for each other.
Yeah, it was crazy what was going on yesterday, or officially it happened Monday night was when they first announced it. And rightfully so, they got a ton of backlash. And I applaud Joel Embiid, and I think Joel Embiid, that was kind of like the final straw. Once he made that decision to donate $500,000, it made the ownership look even worse because they go, oh, wow, one of the guys that we are paying is going to pay to donate money to help coronavirus relief and to help the people that are going to get their own salaries cut. So it was good for Joel Embiid. He really was that final straw.
Yes, it was, man. Absolutely, man. I'm just ecstatic for the fans, man. Because like I said, we stood up, man, and the whole country heard us. You know what I mean? And I'm just happy about that. That's all. I'm happy about that. And one other thing, man. I never got my beard, man. What's up? I need my beard right now.
Well, I mean, as you can imagine, our offices are closed like everywhere else. I mean, really, the only thing that's still going on is the on-air stuff. So, Aaron, I appreciate the call. We'll let you know when we open back up, okay?
All right, no problem.
All right, thanks, man. All right, there's Aaron. Anthony is calling me right now. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hit a break. I'm going to do the update, and then we'll bring Anthony up, get his stuff fixed and taken care of. We'll get back to the playback in just a minute.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So damn proud. You
better. Ah, welcome back.
So damn proud.
We're all cool now. Cuz ready with Chunis, and we're in the middle of our playback, reliving the 1982 Eastern Conference Finals, Game 7. May 23rd, 1982, Sixers, Celtics, a Sunday afternoon at Boston Garden. Hot and steamy May afternoon. The Sixers, right now, it's the second quarter. They take the lead as the doctor finally gets on the board.
Next doctor, Bill Russell, Boston Garden, Game 7, Philadelphia, Boston. Game 7 last year. Celtics won by one after trailing 3-1. They come back from 3-1 in this year's Series 2. Julius Erving trying to get in the column, hits the outside shot. The doctor has hit just 45% from the field in this series. He's 1-for-5 in this game.
Isn't that amazing? Under 45%. Like, if you weren't shooting over 45%, it was bad. Isn't that strange, too?
That's like, crazy. It really
like
is.
You going, wow, what's that? But that's what it was thought of. Doc gets going, though, man. The next three possessions, all his. And with under a minute left in the half, Sixers up 7. But the Celtics came right back. Take a listen.
7-point lead. Harris going to the hoop. With 11 now. He has been tremendous. Many people think that Robert Parrish should be the most valuable player in the league. 20 seconds to go. 11 on the shot clock. Fitz kneeling down in the familiar spot. 5 seconds on the shot clock. Julius Erving blocked by Bird, and they won't get the shot off. Oh, that's there. They will. 5 seconds to go. McHale pulls up. Bird. Counts. Goaltending against Philadelphia. Jack Patton. Goaltending against Philadelphia, and the Celtics walk off the court getting the two they like. 52-49.
Boo! 52-49. Sixers lead now down to three. And like Stockton said earlier, a year before, and I'd said this, Sixers lose in seven. They're up 3-1 in the series. They lose in seven by a point. All right, third quarter. Momentum. They need to seize it. Who's behind it? Mo Cheeks. That's right, Maurice to the rescue.
Tony, who started this series and the Milwaukee series in place of Lionel Hollins with a broken finger, and Maurice Cheeks starts out. As we've said in previous games, if Cheeks is aggressive on offense, Philadelphia is in good shape, and Harris usually holds the key for Boston.
Now, Cheeks made that shot, but they were standing around a little too much before that shot was taken.
Steal by Mo Cheeks. Beating Henderson to the hole.
And Henderson couldn't foul him because he had four fouls already.
One guy's taking a breather, and the other guy's wondering why. And Fitz has a few words for Cedric Maxwell.
Ha! Bill Fitch, coach of the Celtics. Talking about Cedric Maxwell. Ooh, he was a great... Anyway, Sixers are dominating the third quarter, but again, Boston won't go away. It's now a Celtics run, and the Garden starts to go crazy. Take a listen.
Crowd getting turned up a notch or two. Bobby Jones going to the hoop. Bird, 2-on-1. Carr has Henderson. Henderson, Bird to trail. 13 for Bird. Inside to Julius. Projected out of bounds by Harris. And this crowd is really going now. And the cheerleader, the designated cheerleader, Chris Ford.
You know, Chris Ford later came back and was a part of the Sixers. Yeah, there it was. The Celtics on a run. The Garden freaking out. Harris blocks Doc. All of a sudden, the Celtics are on an 8-0 run. And that big Sixer lead cut to two. But don't worry, because the Sixers had a man they call the Strangler.
Eight in a row for the Celtics. Make a habit of this kind of ball. Tony. Sixers have been in this position before. And Andrew Tony hits a jump shot, has 18 points.
And then it was Andrew again.
Harris now with 13 points. Tony from the corner hits again. Well, he is on the mark. Andrew Tony, 22 points. The leading scorer in the game. Bird has 20. And Andrew's 9 for 14 from the field.
Yeah, that's you, Andrew. When I go, Andrew! That's me thinking about Billy Cunningham when I was a kid yelling, Andrew. If you listen close, Andrew, play the song. If you listen closely, you'll hear Dick Stockton say that Bird had 20 points. It was still in the third quarter, and Bird finished the game with 20. Yeah, didn't score in the fourth quarter. Now, 15 seconds left in the third. Doc does it all. A block, rebound, and then hits a shot to end the quarter. Listen to Vintage Julius.
The clock winding down in the third period. Maxwell blocked by Julius Erving. Erving with a blocked shot and 11 seconds to go. Philadelphia can open up their biggest lead. They've matched it right now at 10. 3 seconds. Julius, long range bomb is good. At the buzzer. And so we have the sounds of silence in Boston Garden after three periods of play. If you had to drag them out of the coffin, the Philadelphia 76ers are very much alive. They have a 12-point lead, 12 minutes to go in the seventh and deciding game.
And we were freaking out. The Sixers up 83-71. Julius. Now, would they hold it? The sounds of silence in the Garden woke up again. They tried to make their run early in the fourth quarter, led by Gerald Henderson, father, that's right, a processor, Gerald Henderson Jr., back-to-back buckets. Take a listen.
Darryl Dawkins has had his scoring days. He had 16 in game four and 14 in game five. Says, I'll take it to the hoop in this fourth period. He was a big man in game six and has been playing outstanding defense since coming in for the injured Tiny Archibald. Maxwell. Bantam picks him up. Henderson has a screen from Parrish. Gerald inside against Tony Vesta, put in a foul. What a great play by Henderson, because he went body to body with Andrew Tony and put up a quick shot off the glass.
Did you hear him mention Bantam?
Yes.
Mike Bantam is the guy's name. Mike Bantam came at the trade deadline from Indiana. And the Sixers got him. He was a St. Joe guy. And the Sixers got Mike Bantam at the trade deadline. And he was a good bench guy for him. But that Gerald Henderson run didn't matter at all, because the Sixers, they go on a game-closing run here with Doc giving them a 16-point lead. Time out, Boston.
So the substitutions have paid off, I think, with Caldwell Jones off the glass, Cheeks controlling the ball, and Bobby Jones in the transition.
They got better ball movement, and when they get good ball movement, they're a good shooting club, too.
Julius Erving, he has found his shooting eye from outside in this game. He has 23 points, and Fitz wants a timeout.
How about the Doc right there? All right. Now, just under 2 minutes left, and this is what's beautiful. Andrew Dunk finishes the game with 34.
Harris going to the hoop, knocked away by Mike Cheeks, and a turnover. Ahead of the field is Andrew Tony, and the Philadelphia 76ers are going to be on their way to the World Championship Finals. It's a 15-point lead with 1:40 to play.
How about that? And the famous sounds from the rafters, the chant now ensues. The Boston crowd, we call them our cousins, our rival cousins of Boston, they realize the game's over. They realize that the Sixers are valiant, and they wish the Sixers luck against the Lakers.
Our Miller most valuable player is going to be Julius Erving. Julius Erving is going to be our Miller most valuable player. $1,000 donation will be made Special Olympics on behalf of Julius Erving.
You hear the crowd is chanting to the Sixers? Beat L.A.
Beat L.A. That's great. Let's listen.
Wow, I got chills, man. That is awesome. I forgot how pronounced it was. What'd you think of that?
That's awesome. I mean, that's kind of cool. It's kind of surprising. Like, I get it. They hate the Lakers. They probably hated the Lakers more than the Sixers at that point.
Yeah, maybe, but listen, I think that was the ultimate show of sportsmanship ever in the history of sports, that beat L.A. It was amazing. All right, here's how the game ends. Sixers finish it out. A huge win, game seven up in Boston, 120-106.
Philadelphia 76ers said you can win anywhere if you play well, and they have played well today. Give them credit. It'll be L.A. and Philadelphia. Game one, Thursday night, 9 o'clock Eastern time. 2 years ago, these two teams met, and the Lakers won in six games. And so Philadelphia done everything but win a world title in the last 5 years. You'll have that opportunity starting Thursday night. The Philadelphia 76ers are in the dressing room on their way. They have won the Eastern Conference Championship 120-106 in a shocker over the Boston Celtics in a game that no one thought the Sixers could win. No one, with the possible exception of the Sixer players themselves.
Wow, is that awesome? Judas, play the song! I've been waiting months to do that. Andrew! Let it play a little bit. Let's enjoy it. One of the great games in the history of Philadelphia sports. That one right there. One of my favorite all-time games. Game 7 against the Celtics. Beat L.A. Beat L.A.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.